Bruchim Abayim, everybody. Welcome to my Monday night Parsha class. This week's Parsha is Parsha's Vayishlach. And today is Yud Aleph Kislev, Tav Shin Pei Beis, corresponding with the calendar, English calendar, November 15th, 2021. I'd like to say, Zeche Nishmas, my father, Avi Meiri, Natatri Ben Siya Moshe, and Imi Merasi, Shoshana Vita, Vas Rabbi Yisrael Levi, should be a schus for them, and a refuah shalema for Reinam, Bas Leia. He should be a schus for us, our community, that we're marber, Torah in Klal Yisrael.
Amen.
This week's Parsha Vayishlach, in a sense, is a continuation of Parsha's Vayetze. Parshas Vayetze spoke about Yaakov being in Golus, and he was a Jew living in Golus, living with Lavan, living with Rishayim. However, in this week's Parsha, and Parshas Vayishlach, I would say it would be part two to Yaakov living in Golus, but in a much more dangerous way. Because now he's going to be confronting his enemy face to face. He's going to be confronting Esav. He's going to be confronting not only Esav himself, but the Malach of Esav. And with all of the evil and the power that Esav stands for. We are all familiar with Chazal. The Maisa Ovois Simim Abonim, that the actions that have taken place with our forefathers are a sign to how things are going to unravel for the children to come. That means whatever has taken place for Avram, Yitzhak, and Yaakov are all symbolic to the things that are forthcoming and will take place for the Jewish people. Our reaction to Golus, our reaction to anything that takes place in Golus, should always bear in mind that our reaction should be the same way as our Oveis HaKadosh reacted. And since this week's Parsha is Parsha's Vayishlach that deals with Golus, deals with the dangers of Golus, it's no exception that we have to follow suit and follow the lead of our Oveis HaKadoshim. To be able to appreciate this parsha, let me just give you a brief overview that will clarify the concerns that Yaakov had, and just touch base only very lightly, and then we'll talk more in detail. That the parsha begins with Yaakov Avinu sending malachim, real angels, to see where is the emotional stand that he and his brother Esav are going to be confronting with. Is it with a peaceful encounter, or is it with a dangerous and a very gloomy kind of encounter? He wanted to know how to prepare for this. We know the parasha talks about that Yaakov Avinu, after he sent Malachim and discovered there were 400 men following Esav, he prepared himself to divide his camp into two parts. And then he was caught by himself at night, struggling with the Malach of Esav. These are all symbolic events that the Jew later was going to encounter. Yaakov later, after the difficult evening that he had been challenging the Malach of Esav, he actually meets up with Esav himself and divides his family into two machnas in case if he'll kill or attack one, the other machna will be able to run for safety. The parsha continues, and as finally Esav wants to befriend Yaakov, and he says, right, let's go together. Let's go. We'll travel together. He said, Nisa v'nelcha v'elcha l'negdecha. Let's do it together. Yaakov refuses to continue on with him, but it gives him an excuse. I can't go at the pace of your men. You're going to go quickly. I can't do that. We'll meet sometime later, and we'll be able to encounter a chance to be with each other. This is basically what the parsha is all about. And finally, he comes at the end of the episode of Esav, where he finally ends up where he reaches a place called Sukkos, and there at the place where he finally arrives there, he arrives at a place called Shechem, and the Torah tells us he was finally found complete. He was free from Esav, and now he's prepared to go on, and he praises Hashem and sets up a mizbeach. This storming event of Yaakov meeting Esav, meeting the Malach of Esav, meaning the men of Esav, having to split his family into two in order to run to safety in case he'll attack one of them. This whole episode of even Yaakov having to contend with going and walking together with Esav was all the destiny that yet has to take place with the Jewish people. And we in Gullis are actually going through all of these steps. To begin, therefore, the parasha in a little bit more detail, let's begin the story as the Chumash starts with the Psukim on Pasuk Daled. Vayishlach Yaakov malachim lefonav el Esav achiv arzo seyer sedei Edom. Yaakov sends angels before him to Esav, his brother, to the land of Seir in the field of Edom. Vayetzav osom lemor, and he commands them, saying, Kai somel Adoni Esav, so you shall say to my brother Esav, to my master Esav, Kai oma avdecha Yaakov, so your servant Yaakov has said, Im lovin garati v'echa adata, I live with lovin all of this time, and I have tarried until now. And basically, from the first, right now, the first comment he's saying to Esav, he's raising Esav up as his master, and he's lowering himself down as his servant, as a slave. This is the way we are supposed to approach Rishayim in the world of Golus. We're supposed to praise and make the Rasha feel important, not to challenge him and not contending with him and not to upset him. You lower yourself down and you praise him in whichever way possible to get his attention. And the Torah continues a few psukim later, as he sent the malachim, they came back. Vayeshuvu ha-malachim el Yaakov lemor. The malachim came back with a report saying, Bono el achicha el Esav, we have come to your brother Esav, v'gam holech l'kroscho v'arve meyos ish imo, and he's coming to meet you with 400 men. Obviously, it's not a peace treaty to come with 400 men, soldiers. He's definitely looking for some kind of a battle. Vayira Yaakov Ma'od. The pasuk continues on, and Yaakov was very, very frightened. Vayetzavo, and he was distraught. Vayachatz es ha'om asha'ito ve'es hatzon ve'es habokor v'agamalim l'shnei machanos. And he divided his people into two machnos, together with the sheep and the cattle and the camels, and everybody there was divided into two camps. He was very, very afraid that he might have to kill, or he might end up being killed. This was his concern, and this was his fear. And as we are familiar with this, he went ahead and Rashi explains he prepared himself with three things. As the pasuk tells us, why did he divide himself into two machnos? V'yom, and he said, Im yavo Esav al machna achas v'yikohu, if Esav will come to one of the machnas, one of the camps, and he'll smite them, v'haya machna anisha lefleta, the second camp will be able to run and escape. And then Yaakov continues to pray Hashem. He prays to Hashem, and he tells Hashem, I am so impoverished. I don't have zechuyos. I don't have the merits. Please, please, hatzileni no miyad ochi miyad Esav. Save me from the hands of my brother, from the hands of Esav. Ki yorei anochi, I am afraid of him. Anochi oso pen yavo v'yikani eim al bonim. Maybe he will strike a mother on children, upon children. This was his prayer. So Rashi explains he prepared himself for three things. He prepared himself with a gift, giving gifts to Esav. He prepared himself with tefillah, with prayer, and he prepared himself for milchama. So right away you can ask the question, doesn't it say right at the end of the last week's parasha Vayetze, he has been escorted with malachim? As we are familiar with that, there was a place called Machanayim. Why was there a name Machanayim given to the place where Yaakov left from the place of where he left Lavan? Because Malachim from Eretz Yisrael came down to escort him to Eretz Yisrael as the Malachim of Chutz La'aretz left. So he had Malachim. And the Torah tells us at the beginning, and he sent Malachim. Why is it that he was so afraid? Why was he so distraught? Why was he so petrified? And the way of a tzaddik is never to rely on Nisim, because he always feels he is unworthy of a Nis. He never relies on Nisim. He always looks forward to pray that Hashem should help him in the time of his misery, in the time of his concern. Even though that he had at his disposal Malachim, he left the house of Lavan with Malachim. He was greeted with new Malachim to go into Eretz Canaan. He was even able to send Malachim to see how Esav was. But Tzaddik doesn't rely on Nisim. No, Hatzadik always thinks that he's unworthy. And this is where we see how Yaakov starts praying to Hashem for help. Even though it would seem, why is he not using the quote, the superpower to his disposal? And this is the way Hatzadik has to live. And this is how we are being trained through Yaakov Avinu, how we have to live. That even if we are put in a situation, in a dangerous situation, we have to have bitachon, but we have to pray. We have to go out and daven for Hatzlacha. And we see a very interesting thing. And in his prayer, he said a very interesting thing. He said, please, save me, Hatzileni no miyad achi miyad Esav, ki yorei anochi Esav. I'm afraid of him. What is the double language? Why does he have to repeat it twice? It's obvious his brother is Esav. Why does he have to say, Hatzileni no miyad achi miyad Esav? And the Mefarshim explained, the Beis Halevi goes into length to explain over here, there were two fears, there were two concerns. There was a physical concern. He's davening to Hashem, Esau, the Russia, might just use his sword to kill everyone of his family. And therefore, I need Hashem to intervene. But then he was concerned about the other part of Esau. He says, I'm afraid of my brother, not just Miyad Esav. I'm afraid that his brotherly love will come and destroy my family by inviting his family to accompany him and to become his friend. And when you become a friend with a Russia, you pick up tidbits of illicit information, behaviors, things which are not congruent with Torah philosophy and things that are in the spirit of Kavod Shamayim. He was afraid of both the physical dangers of Esav and also the spiritual dangers of Esav. Maybe Esav will expose his family to his world, the world of Gashmias that is full of immorality and materialism that is not what Yaakov wanted his family to see. So therefore he prayed to Hashem, Hatzileni no miyad ochi miyad Esav, protect me from both the friendly encounter of Esav and the dangerous encounter of the brutal and bloodthirsty hands of Esav. And that was his kavana, as the Beis Halevi explains. So as we are able to move on with the parsha, we have over here that Yaakov Avinu himself, when he said, you know, im Lavan garti, I live with Lavan. And Rashi says over there, he lived with Lavan, and he didn't pick up the bad behavior. As Rashi says, im Lavan garti, dover acha garti begematria tariag, kalama, im Lavan harasha garti v'tariag mitzvah shamarti. I still fulfill the Tariag mitzvahs, v'lo limadati mimaisav harishoim. I didn't pick up his bad behavior. What Yaakov was insinuating, that it was a struggle for him too to remain above water. Being with Lavan for 20 years meant that he had to fight the challenges and the Yetzer Haras and the negative behavior of a loved one's family, a loved one's home. And this was a very difficult challenge for Yaakov. And he's insinuating this, that I had also worked very hard to protect myself. And because he knew that when you are with Rishayim, you have to be on your best guard. You have to keep your guard up and not lower your guard. He was telling Esav that I did my best to protect myself from the influences of Lavan. And by saying this, he was trying to show, as the Ramban explains, that he didn't even consider maybe Esav would be a little bit compassionate to him. After all, he didn't see his brother for 20 years. Maybe he would have a little bit rachmanis, a little bit of pity and brotherly love. Yaakov didn't consider that for a moment, which we saw later when 400 men were on their way. Do you know why he didn't consider it? Because if a Rasha has bad midos and he doesn't work on changing those midos, they remain with him forever. They stay with him. If a person has bad midos and he doesn't work on them, they don't disappear. They remain with him. So Yaakov, when he encountered the possibility of Esav coming, he wasn't sure how he's going to meet him. He said, "Oy, help me, Hashem, miyad Ochi, miyad Esav." He didn't even consider Esav having a feeling of brotherly love to him in terms of being polite and being being a brother in that sense. He was concerned about Esav taking him over completely. And therefore, Yaakov prayed to Hashem for this protection. And we all know at this encounter that Yaakov Avinu had to challenge not just Esav himself, but even before he met Esav, he met the Malach of Esav. And how was it possible that Yaakov was able to challenge the Malach of Esav? And how was it possible that Yaakov was able to be so strong in the house of Lavan? And all was from the same source of preparing for his encounter with Galus, with his encounter with Lavan, his encounter with Esav. What was that preparation? That preparation was the 14 years he had in the Beis Medrash of Shem and Aver. This preparation had lasted all of this time. It gave him the fortitude. It gave him the wherewithal to be able to withstand the Lavan's house and now the challenges that he was now going to be facing Esav. And therefore, this is why he succeeded in the challenge, in the confrontation that he had with Esav's Malach. And then finally, later on, when the Torah says that Vayavo Yaakov Shalom Ir Shechem, Yaakov came to the city of Shechem with Shalom, with peace. There, it tells us, he had not only Shalemus, peace in his body, because we all remember that he was injured by the Malach of Esav. We are all familiar that he had to give an enormous amount of money in the form of gifts to Esav to appease him. We all are familiar with the fact that he had the challenge of having to live with Lavan for 20 years. But the Torah testifies he arrived at the city of Shechem with Shalem, complete. As again, Vayavo Yaakov Shalem Ir Shechem. He arrived at the city of Shechem complete. So what does Chazal tell us? Rashi explains to us, Shalem begufay, he was completely in his body, even though he was injured. He had been able to be healed from the injury of the Malach. He was Shalom b'mamono. He was complete with his money that he gave an enormous amount of money to Esav. It was replenished, and Shalom b'tayrasai. he was now complete with his Torah. He didn't forget all that he has learned and at the time when he was in the house of Lavan. That means all of the things that he learned with Yitzchak and all of the things he learned in Shem Ve'Ever, he reviewed it and maintained it in the house of Lavan. And the Marsha in Masech de Shabbos would like to say, and I'm quoting from the Be'er HaMechokek, a very interesting thing. He's saying that this was considered a nes. All this was a nes. That for this to happen and it worked out that he was shalim in all of these three areas was a nes. So it's in a way, it's hard to understand how you would say it was a nes in his Torah, because we know a rule that his Torah and Emunah depend on himself, on his own work. If you want to say it was a nace in him being healed, I can understand. If you say it was a nace in getting all of that money that he lost, that's a nace, I can understand. But what is the nace that he was shalom b'teirasai? That doesn't depend on a nace. We know that shlemas in Emunah depends on the individual. How is that considered a nace? So in the Be'er HaMechokek asked the question from Chaim Mordechai Katz, Zechatar Levocha, the Tel Tov Shoshiva, how would you think that learning Torah would be that he got his Torah under control, that he didn't forget any of his Torah? Torah is depending on the individual, not a nace. It doesn't go with a nace. We know Hakol Bidei Shemayim Chutz Meyira Shemayim. It's Gemara and Brachos. Everything Bidei Shemayim except Yira Shemayim. Money is Bidei Shemayim. Refu is Bidei Shemayim. But not Taiva. So how is that possible? So the Rosh Yeshiva explains, I'll tell you how. He was able to invoke the nice of protection from his Torah learning, because he was mishtadel. He gave up everything, or his effort as much as he could in learning Torah to be protected from the influence of Lavan and from the influence of Esav. Yes, he did everything he could. It was therefore a nes. We know Chazal say, "Habalataya Messiah Naisai." Whoever tries his best to do the right thing and to learn and to do mitzvah, then he has spiritual encounters. He has spiritual help, and that was a nes to live in the Lavan's house and to be able to continue on without Esav tampering with him and his family was a nes. It's all because he devoted himself completely to Torah. When a person devotes himself to learning, it's hard to believe, but it works that way, that Torah protects a person in ways that are beyond our comprehension. And therefore, as a result, we are told and taught that if a person has a Yetzer Hara, what should he do? Well, the Gemara says, it's brought down in the Sefer Be'er Mechokek, a quote of Chazal, as it says, Tana de Bei Rebbe Yishmoel, they learned in the Beis HaMedrash of Rebbe Yishmoel, Bini, my son, im poga b'cho menuvul zeh, if this disgusting thing means the Yetzer Hara, the Satan, wants you to be attracted to evil thoughts and evil behavior, mashcheyu lebeis hamedrash, schlep him into the beis hamedrash. Im even who, if he's like a stone, nimuach, he'll like fall apart. Im barzel who, and if he's like a piece of metal, mispotet, he'll be shattered. Shenema, as he brings down a pasuk to show us that in the learning of Torah, they will disappear and dissipate. And the truth of the matter is, this is what helped Yaakov in the time of Golus. this is what gave him, because he was mispal to Hashem for the help. He put all of his heart and might in davening to Hashem and to learn as much he could as he possibly could. And Hashem gave him heavenly support, heavenly protection. He was protected from Lavan, and he was protected from Esav, from his 400 men, and even from the time where Esav tried to befriend him, Hashem gave him the wherewithal, the seichel, to tell Esav, I'm sorry, I can't go with you because my family cannot continue at the pace that you are going. We'll meet sometime in the future. And what he really meant, we'll meet at the time of Mashiach. I would like to share with you a very powerful Gemara that will support this whole idea that the Torah that we learn changes people completely. And no matter what level you are at, Torah can have a tremendous, tremendous effect on the individual. It's a famous Gemara in Brachos, Daf, Chof, Zayin, Amud Beis. I'll just tell you parts of the Gemara, and we'll get down to the message. The Gemara talks about where Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Gamliel had a debate. Well, the question is, davening Ma'arif. Is davening Ma'arif considered optional, or is it a chayv? Is it mandatory? Rabbi Yeshua said, davening Ma'arif is a rishus. It's optional. Rabbi Gamliel said, no, it's mandatory. And the Gemara goes through a whole discussion between the debate between Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Gamliel. In the meantime, Rabbi Yeshua had spoken to people about his opinion, and he told people that the way he understood the tefillah of Ma'ariv is supposed to be optional, not mandatory. Rabbi Gamliel got the wind of it, that Rabbi Yeshua had told others of his opinion. And therefore, Rabbi Gamliel acted very, very strictly with Rabbi Yeshua in a way that created a tremendous commotion in the Beis HaMedrash, because many people felt that Rabbi Yeshua did nothing wrong, and therefore Rabbi Gamliel was being too strict with Rabbi Yeshua and so forth. The Beis HaMedrash, or the leaders of the Beis HaMedrash, had a meeting, and they decided to remove Rabbi Gamliel as the Rosh Yeshiva and to pick somebody else to be in charge. I'm not going to the whole Gemara, but the Gemara ends up saying they chose a famous person by the name of Elazar ben Azariah. That's a famous person, the Elazar ben Azariah in the Haggadah, who he was only 17 years old, and he later became a Rosh Yeshiva of this Beis Medrash that Rabbi Gamliel was the Rosh Yeshiva at the time, and now Rabbi Gamliel was demoted, and they put Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, but he looked like a child because he was such a young person. So the nace was, in order for people to respect him, he would grow locks of white hair, and therefore he looked very distinguished, and therefore he was able to present himself as a Rosh Yeshiva. Now, that's all background history. What the Gemara does say, now, there was at the time when Rabbi Gamliel was the Rosh Yeshiva, Rabbi Gamliel had put security guards at the door of the Beis HaMedrash. That at the time when he ran the Beis Medrash, the only person that could come to learn Torah in the Beis HaMedrash of Rabbi Gamliel was only those who had a stellar character, that his inside and his outside coincide. He was a pure Talmud Chacham with Midos Tovos, and that kind of character was permitted to come into the Beis HaMedrash. Now, all of a sudden, when Rebbe Elazar ben Azariah became the leader of the Beis Medrash, he removed the security guard. Let me read the Gemara. Tana, we learned, Oise hayom solkuhu l'shomer ha-Pesach. At that day, when Rebbe Elazar ben Azariah became the Rosh Yeshiva, what happened was he removed the security guard from the Beis HaMedrash, for nitna lehem reshus l'talmidim likones. He permitted all talmidim, doesn't matter what kind, to enter the Beis HaMedrash. So Rav Gamliel machriz v'omer. Rav Gamliel beforehand made an announcement. Kol talmud she'ein teicher kabaroi lo yikones the Beis HaMedrash. Any talmud that is outside and inside do not conform. You don't have a solid and stellar personality. You cannot enter my Beis HaMedrash. If your Yiras Shemayim is not the way I feel it should be, then you are not allowed to enter my Beis HaMedrash. Well, something happened today when Elazar ben Azariah became a Shishiva. Hahu Yoma. It was that day when Rav Elazar ben Azariah opened the doors of the Beis HaMedrash, and all of a sudden, the Gemara says, "Tusfai kama safsale." There suddenly many benches were added to the Beis HaMedrash. On Rabbi Yochanan Pligiba, there was an argument about how many. Abba Yosef ben Dustoi and Rabbanan, they're arguing with each other. Chadoma, Itusve Arba Meya Safsale. One person said they added 400 benches to the Beis HaMedrash. The Chadoma, another one said Sheva Meya Safsale. There were 700 benches added to the Beis HaMedrash. Could you imagine how many Talmidim are now? Was wall to wall, full of Talmidim, the sound of Torah was rocking the walls. At that time, Rav Gamliel saw this. Rav Gamliel felt bad. The Gemara goes on. Why did he feel bad? Why? Because the Gemara says, Dilma manati Torah mi Yisrael. Maybe I was geirim that Torah should not be learned in Yisrael. Because look at this Beis Medrash. Look how many people are sitting and learning. And they may not have such a stellar personality, but they're all learning Torah. They're all coming to learn. They're flocking to learn. The Chidushi Harim asks a very important question. And this will put my whole Devar Torah into perspective. He doesn't understand. Why wasn't Rav Gamliel, why was he upset? Rav Gamliel understood that there were many people who he rejected, right? He was in charge of the enrollment, and he rejected all of the people that Rav Elazar ben Azariah wanted to have come to the Beis Medrash. So why was he upset? He knew that, and he rejected them. What was this news to him? Why was he upset? So Chidush Harim says a marvelous answer. What upset Rav Gamliel was that he didn't realize the power of Torah learning. He did not realize that even if your personality, your midos, your conduct is not stellar, it's not perfect, it's not up to par, you may not dress properly, or you may not look properly, your hairstyle may not be as respectable as a Talmud Chacham's hairstyle, I did not think that Torah had the power to change a person. And here I saw with my own eyes that I made a terrible mistake. I see with my own eyes that Torah has the power to change a person, that even if he is not such a well-behaved, well-groomed individual, but he's a person who wants to learn and wants to grow in Torah, it can change him and make him over into a Talmud Chacham. And that's why, says the Chiddush HaRim, why Rav Gamliel was upset. He was upset that he denied so many people to learn Torah because he made an error. He did not know the power of Torah learning. And we are actually familiar a little bit from Avraham Avinu's encounter in Charan. We're all familiar with the Es HaNefesh Asher Asu B'Charan. And the souls that he made in Charan, what does it mean he made souls? He made minds. He taught people the way of Torah. He created people by creating minds. And in a sense, this is what Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah did. He actually created a whole base medrash with 400 new benches or 700 new benches are full of people who are willing to learn Torah. This is what he accomplished, and this is why Rav Gamliel was upset. It's the encounter that we have with Torah that would make the world of a difference. This describes Yaakov Avinu. When Yaakov Avinu put his whole heart and mind in preparing for Galus, and like I said, Parshas Vayetzeh is part one of the Jew in Galus, and Parshas Vayishlach is part two, where the Jew is in Galus, and he has to encounter the Rishaim who are out to hurt and kill him. He has to know that his best protection is learning Torah, because it's l'mayla miderech hateva. It's beyond nature, beyond a person's wildest imagination, how Torah can protect a person. And this is how Yaakov was able to succeed in his encounter with Esav. It saved his family, and it saved Klal Yisrael. This is what Parshas Vayishlach, of the many lessons it teaches us. That teaches us that when we approach Rishayim, we have to feel subdued, we have to give them the honor, we have to lower ourselves. We should not look to challenge the Rasha, we should look to honor him, and may even sometimes praise him to make him feel good, so that we could save ourselves from a bad encounter. And of course, ultimately, we have to daven and ask Hashem for his constant supervision. And by doing that, we are definitely given the additional siyata d'shmaya, the additional help from heaven to be able to overcome our challenges. And today, more than ever, and we're living in a gullus where there are enemies all around Israel. There are enemies everywhere we turn. And the media is constantly trying to batter Israel and trying to batter the Jew. And we are in gullus. And our greatest ally is the learning Torah. And if we do devote ourselves to Torah, we are following the lead of Yaakov Avinu, the one who lived through Galus, and therefore this would be a protection for us, and this will help us protect our families. May we all have a wonderful week, and we should try our best in learning Torah as much as we can, and Hashem will definitely help us succeed in our efforts. Have a wonderful week. A good day.